This is the Raw and Radical Woman in the Arts podcast, and I am your host, Maureen Broadbeck. In each episode, we explore the mechanisms of identity, vulnerability, authenticity, empowerment, and social change through conversations with inspiring women who are making history and challenging the status quo in both the art world and in society. We talk about their real-life challenges and celebrate cis and transgender women so that you can be inspired, empowered, take action, and further your critical understanding about what it means to be a woman in the arts.
Woman, feminism, a revolutionary catalyzing reformation, radical.
Today I have the great pleasure to meet with Ursina Gabriela Roche and Mark Damon Harvey. They are the co-initiators and co-president of Fat Art. Fat Art stands for Femme Artist Table, which means Woman Artist Table. It is a Swiss art association that has been campaigning for an equal opportunity and the inclusion of women since 2016. They develop and do many activities, initiatives, meetings, and exhibitions throughout the year with the goal of giving women a stronger voice in art, a better visibility, attention, and acceptance. Fat Art emphasizes that they are an organization that addresses all those who are oppressed by patriarchy, women and flint, Frauen, which means woman in German, lesbian, inter, non-binary and trans person. They have one major event every year in September, which is the Fat Art Fair, an art fair dedicated to women only, and there's an open call until May 9th. It's time to get fat with Ursina and Mark. Hi, Ursina. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. I'm very glad that we are together today. Ursina, you are the co-founder of FAT, and I'm going to jump right in and read you your own definition of FAT. So you said this: we network to help artists achieve the escape velocity needed for historic art trajectories. We create the balance. We want to network the artists, and we want to write the history of women in art. By artists, we mean all women, including intersex and trans women. It's time to get fat, femme artist table, fat, empowered woman. I love this. I love the name. I think it's great. So can you tell us why you decided to start this project and how did you get together, the two of you?
First of all, thank you very much for your invitation.
You're welcome.
Very nice. You created a very nice podcast.
Thank you.
It's just my term, raw and radical. I'm a woman, raw and radical. And that's why probably I'm artist.
Yeah.
And through my experience as artist, I think grew up this project, because from very early I could understand it, something is wrong in our society and also in the society of art. It's a question of culture.
Yeah.
This is a short explanation, but starting from me as experience as artist, it's the first, and the second is the culture in general, what we live in, which culture we are living. And Mark, we got a job in the same program for people, foreign people. They are living in Switzerland since many years, and they never had the opportunity to learn the language we speak here.
Yeah.
So because they were unemployed people, and to ameliorate,
to better
the chance to have a new job, they were in a program to learn German. And I was teacher for creativity, and to give them the possibility, the experience from language, the experience from the life put together in a language,
yeah,
of the image.
Yeah. So that's
by
how you
creativity.
Met.
Yes. And Mark was teacher for computer. And I think it was too boring for him, so we came together to to be a little bit creative. This was the start. And then Mark started to write about my work. He was very interested in my work. So I was interested in have another approach to my work than I knew from art historian, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's very, on a very small way, which I think my work is much bigger.
Yeah. So why this project? Why this name? How did it all came together then?
Fat Tom Artist Table is from this experience that I am a woman in the art business and I don't have the same opportunity that yeah. men have. Everybody should know, but not everybody knows.
Yeah.
And I was in London for a scholarship
yeah.
for 6 months in a foundation, which was very interesting. And there we had a table, an artist table, to exchange in a restaurant, and people could meet us artists. And then later, when we were in this project searching after a name, it was clear I would like to have a table where we can sit with other people and discuss and be part of the art business
yeah.
in one way, and in the other way, as woman, I would be part.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was the part from for the name from artist table.
Nice.
Later, by accident, we realized it is fat, the three letters together, fat. And then the slogan was clear, it's time to get fat together.
Yeah.
This is a very nice image. I like very much.
Yeah, and especially that it relates to, I mean, it's a subject that relates to women, you know, and media and all that. The word is so important in the life of women.
Yes,
yeah.
That's why, for example, some artists think it is not a nice word because we are nice women. They say not only.
Yeah.
And this is a very good name for this, I think, too.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me about this feeling of injustice you felt since childhood? And how did it grow and kind of probably touch your art practice and your desire to create this project and to create the art fair?
Yes, it's a feeling, it's an experience you can feel or not feel for any woman or any other people in our society. I think Mark can say also something about that. In his case, it is a question of culture. I did not understand what I have to do in this culture, why women has no right to talk, mm-hmm. to speak, to be part of it.
Yeah.
And then in my artwork, I think I was searching very hardly my own way. So I had nothing to lose because I was not asked with my opinion.
Yeah.
So I was looking for my own experience as a woman, which has no place in our society and which is not really related to being a woman in our society, being a woman as a human being.
So when you say that as a woman, you don't have a place in our society, can you explain what you mean exactly by that? Because I think some listeners might be a bit puzzled by this quite strong sentence.
You think it is a strong sentence? We are living... How strong it is. We are living in a society where we have a norm, we have a frame.
Yeah.
Norm or frame, for me, is a little bit the same. And in this frame, it is the woman not existing or a little bit, or perhaps a little bit in a case where the frames make the definition how we should be.
Yeah.
How we should behave, who we are. We have a lot of different ways of revolution as women, but we not really have a good culture together and not really a history of women.
Yeah, I think that idea of culture is very interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. So, Mark, what's your take on this as a man?
Yeah, I was always involved in different political mindsets from the way I grew up at home with my mother and my sister. And so, for instance, I experienced the first black uprising in the U.S. in 1965 in Watts, California, because we were living there then.
Yeah.
And the whole Black identity movement that took place in the 60s, I was like preteen then. And then afterwards, we moved up to Altadena, which was basically an all-white suburb, and the school district was the first one in the U.S. to force busing as integration solution. So we were moved around town, went to the different schools that were before just either Black, white, Asian, or Mexican-American Ikana. So I've always had contact with the idea of cultures in conflict. And when I came to Switzerland, the youth movement started 2 weeks later, and they had the problems with the opera house, and then afterwards how the Rote Fabrik started, Red Factory as a culture center. Because I was involved in all these different things, and also because I was involved with Männerpunkt-CH, which was the first umbrella organization for men's organizations in Switzerland. I was one of the founders there. I was always looking for a way to culturally bridge. So for me, in the sense of intersectionality and cultural integration, it was obvious to me that it would be a good idea to do something like FAT, because it was just logical. It was illogical for me that it didn't exist already.
Yeah.
And it was a real adventure, because a lot of times we found ourselves both talking to people and thinking, they don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not about just being somehow radical or contrary. It was something that was an obvious step towards the future that was missing. And I think quasi really an obvious step.
yeah, I agree. Sometimes we really wonder how comes it's not there already for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's very strange, huh? But, you know, I guess it was you to do it. So it was your role to do that one. So you have the fair. It's been, what, 3 years now?
This year will be the fourth time.
The fourth, yeah, so it's the fourth year. This year the fair will take place. It's growing every year. Congrats for that. It's looking great. So how was the fair perceived, received by artists, by authorities, by people in the art?
At first, we had a lot of questions. People here in Switzerland could not really understand why we do that, why we would like to do that, why we are interested in do that, because everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people has the impression we are equal, an equal society.
Yeah.
Even in art, you are an artist, this is already something good, but what you like to have more.
Yeah.
But the art scene is still a boys' club, very bad boys' club, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark, you will say something.
Yeah, I mean, the first year there was surprising resistance coming from different corners, also from the women themselves, of course. And it caught us off guard a few times, because we were thinking there's an elephant in the room and everyone's saying there's no elephant there. That was kind of weird, because we had to back up and figure out how we could explain something that would get us really kind of like angry. So we had to break it down to make sure that people could have better access to it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting in that respect, because people started picking away at things that didn't make sense. They didn't like the name. They didn't like this. They didn't like that. We had our devotees at the beginning. There were some people that jumped in right away and connected right away. But there was some surprising resistance at the beginning, and it was basically nonsensical. It didn't make any sense what people were saying. And like Orsina said, there are a lot of young people, also young women, that were saying, well, what are you complaining about? Everything's fine. People that have no idea or had never been in contact with the situation, and they weren't really interested in it either. They just assumed it was okay.
Yeah. I noticed that quite a lot, actually, because we don't want to realize that there is a problem. We are raised to think that all is good. So when things go wrong, we blame more ourselves. Something's wrong with us. We didn't do it right. And then it is with time and with age and with experience, we realize that it was not that. Mm. It was not us that something was wrong with. It's something bigger than that. It's something in the society. It's some kind of, that spell of what's happening. Exactly this issue. And I think a lot of younger women, maybe they don't realize that because they're also raised, thinking all is good. I mean, some of them at least. And then it takes quite a while to realize that no, something doesn't work with the society. Something doesn't work in general and is not fair and equal. It's a bit insidious.
I think with younger women, it's a matter of them, if they haven't had contact with situations that made them realize how things work or don't work for them, then they don't notice it at the beginning because, like you said, they reflect upon themselves and they think, well, I could have done this better. I'm not perfect either, so I'm not going to say anything.
Exactly.
And I think maybe around 40 or after 40 when they hit the glass ceiling and they realize, hey, these people have been promoted beyond me or something and they can't do anything. There's just men and it's a men's club. And this, the intersectional aspect is, for me, obvious as a Black person. You experience this all the time. It's just that it basically the realization is very early. You have no choice. And so sometimes I had to be patient with people that weren't there yet and try and figure out how to get them there without pushing too hard. I think it's as much a pedagogy what we're doing as anything else, that we're being an example for new ways of thinking about the situation and critical perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you had your third edition last September and you had 100 artists in your fair. So congratulations. This is great. Where are you now? Which stage are you in and where do you want to go? What is your vision for the upcoming editions?
We started with 55. We started with 50 in the art fair, and then we had an exhibition by site for 5 artists, which was invited in the same house. And the second year we get 200 artists. And the third also. And the fourth, we just get from the town of Schaffhausen, where we are with this art fair, where we started the project, is that we can get this space we had last year on 2 floors, very nice space on 3,200 square meters. A really nice space where was the...
Yeah, beautiful.
The Kunsthalle. Neue Hallen für Kunst, this very famous place, which was for 5 years empty. And we started in 2018 with our project there in this same space. And we will do it this year with 100, probably 100 artists too. And then we will see how we can grow. What we do by side, the art fair, is very important too. We meet every month in Zurich. Talk about art, about projects from women related linked to art. We present people, artists. We also have different spaces in Zurich where we make little exhibitions. So it is not only the art fair. The art fair is the biggest one where women can show their work, which is very important to get together. And each year, more and more curators, art historians, and more people from the art scene, also which was against our project, they come more and more. And this is a very good,
good
point.
It is a very good point.
We are in this discussion everywhere. People in the art scene know us or our project now. And they are a little bit under pressure.
Yeah.
And this is very good.
Yeah. Excellent. So let's talk about money, because money is an important subject for all artists, but especially for women artists. What do you think is the biggest problem for women artists in regards to money? And where does it come from, this issue with money? First of all, we don't know nothing, or we are not told nothing, taught nothing about finance. And second of all, somehow we always feel bad about asking for money.
Yeah, we should talk more about money. That's right. Because a lot of women are in this kind of making everything for everyone for nothing.
Yeah.
And this is very bad for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
It is a question of consciousness and a question of aims, a question of how I see being an artist as professional. For me, for example, it was very important. Yeah. I am a professional. This is my beruf, profession.
Yeah.
And I don't work somewhere for nothing. Not only because I like to do that. And so for women, it is a question of time also. Time and money is together. Perhaps they start to do art. They decided to doing art, but they never think what I could earn with it, in fact, financially. Because art is something, it's a philosophy, it's a kind of how I like to live. And this is not really related with money. And it's like, you should not do that. It is what they tell us. Because we are women, you should not talk about money. You should not have the prices too high because you are a woman. So you can not ask. We had some workshops about this at the Fat Rendezvous, to talk about money, to talk about the prices, that every woman should make the price at least 3 times higher. Then you have a good price. Me, for example, I have the reputation that my artwork is expensive. But this was for me, it was in the concept of my art.
Yeah. Is it good or bad to have that reputation?
Because they think it is very important, this work she does. Sometimes I have to play with this kind of classification of everything. So that's why I put my prices very high. Even I don't sell, for me it's not the questions. But I think it's part of the project also. That if you have a price which is very high, you will look why it is 100,000. If you ask for 4,000, it is not interesting. You should be aware of this. As woman, artist.
Yeah, that's interesting. So as much as it is important to talk about women and the image of women, I think it's important to talk about the image of men and how men relate to all of this. What is society expecting of men, you know? And maybe Mark, you want to answer to this?
Yeah, part of what Rosina mentioned is really classic information for me, that women have been in general saddled with the idea of care work.
Yep.
They're responsible for taking care of so many things without being paid. And that's, I think, also one of the reasons why they're not used to being paid correctly when they do something that men are doing too. And I think it's getting over the care frame of thinking that is important as far as pricing is concerned. Men don't see themselves that way. They see themselves as their, I mean, of course, not all of them. They see their products or their services as being something that's valuable and it should be paid for. No one has ever asked them to do this or that for free, or let's say it doesn't happen nearly as much.
Yeah.
So they don't have that difficulty. It's also kind of interesting to look at how men work in teams. If we look at what I call the art cartel in Switzerland, you've got all these men working together, and it's just kind of like it's understood what they do together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's some competition among them, of course, but as soon as something really comes from the outside, let's say women or other cultures, then it's like they group together all of a sudden, and they have a group think that functions for them to keep the others out.
Yeah.
Of course, men are also the group that suffers the most from other men, because there are men that don't fit into those categories. And some of them notice it, that they don't fit, and they resent it. And a lot of them don't. They think still, okay, I could be one of them, but actually you can't.
Yeah.
Because it's a club. It's a club against men. It's a club against women.
It's a tight, tight club.
Yeah.
I think they would probably go really far as I can tell, to make sure that this club stays where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, we see that all the time with the argument of quality, which is just a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, how can one uniform group of experts say what quality is when nothing is different among them?
Yeah.
You know?
How do you explain that women actually support this? Is it because they also want to be in that tight club? Or is it because they don't realize it? Or is it both? How do you explain that?
I think it's mostly socialization and something similar to the Stockholm syndrome, that they're kind of like in a golden cage. And then they think, well, it is relatively comfortable here if I don't say anything. And if I do say something, what if they don't like it? They're not ready to fight.
Yeah.
You know? And the men won't like it, so...
They won't like it. It's pretty clear and obvious.
Yeah.
So it's to not disturb the status quo and not challenge anything.
Yeah, because they can remain under the radar. You know, whereas if you're a woman of color from somewhere else, then you're not, you know.
Yeah, so as long as you support the same artist and you agree with what's being said, then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? So how do we steer this all up? How do we shake the tree?
Well, Orsina wants to throw a monkey wrench into it. She doesn't want to shake the tree.
Yeah, that's why we started this project to do something which is nice, which is good, which you can feel well. You find your platform as women artists. I know artists who participated in this fair. It was an experience they never had before as women artists. If you participate there, you don't go out like you came in.
Yeah, yeah.
You have another consciousness. What is being an artist? Because also you have a network, you see, you can talk with other artists from Switzerland, from every part of Switzerland, but also from Germany, from South America, from South Africa, from Asia. We will get fatter more and more, and we would like that a lot of women can make this experience.
Yeah.
And from there you can go further. Because a lot of artists have a gallery now. They have a commission for making something in theater or design jewelry or things like that, because people come more and more. And this experience of power of woman is really very exciting.
Beautiful.
I think it is not only the power of the artist. For me, the most important is the power of the art themselves.
Yeah.
Because I had the experience that the power of this artwork is much higher as you and I together.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's worth to note that it is the artists that apply to be part of the fair. They're not galleries.
Yes, it is an art fair for artists, for producers.
Mm. Do you also invite galleries or other art centers to be part of it?
No, sometimes we talk about it, but until now there was no collective, no gallery.
I think a lot of these organizations, they're just kind of like watching us.
Yeah.
You know, they ignored us at the beginning and they thought we would go away, and then we came back again, and we came back again the third time. And so then they thought, oh, well, let's go look. And so a lot of them snuck into the event, and we didn't know who they were, but people spotted them and they came to see what we were doing. Galleries are, as far as I'm concerned, they can come, but it's really interesting to see how long you have to keep doing something before you can be accepted as existing.
Yeah.
And there was also something else when we were talking about care, the care role that women have. Rosina was really pushing the artists to talk to each other about their work and not about their kids or their living situations and things like that. And it was interesting that is a real necessary shift of perspective for women artists, that when they get together, they really talk about their work.
Yeah. I think this is huge, actually. It's a very interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting, because it really shifts the dialogue in the society.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what women are used to do so much, you know. And I'm a mother. I'm not going to say it's not an important job and an important part of my life to be a mother and to be in motherhood. But it's true that we are used to talk about only this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be amazing example for our children as mothers and artists. Orsina, you had the great pleasure to meet Diane Torr. Can you talk about your experience with her, the experience of becoming a man for one day, the workshops?
Yes, I did this workshop once, and then I did it twice, and then I organized one, because it was a very nice experience to get out from your classification you have yourself, your idea of being a woman.
Yeah.
And in this day, you can go out. You have to come in the workshop with identity, who you are as a man. You are married, which job you have, or you are single, or you have to bring an identity, and then you change in some hours. And you take with you also the clothes.
Yeah.
But I had not so much idea which kind of man I would like.
Yeah.
But it was the big question. I not really found one who I could say, I would like to be. Then I went to this workshop and I told to Diane, I don't know who I could be. And she told me, you looked like a nightclub owner.
Nightclub owner.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I thought, yeah, it's okay to start. I'm a little bit smart in one way, a little bit heavy guy, a little bit macho. I needed to have this experience being a macho.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So how was that? How was that?
Yeah, it was very disturbing.
It was frightening.
It was very disturbing. We went out as super machos. It was horrible. I felt as me. I know me myself, and I had like a costume of a super macho. The world is mine. This is a very good experience.
Yeah.
You don't smile. You cut your smile, and you become a neck, very hard, very big. And you go like a gorilla through the street. I felt like this. I don't know how it was from outside. Then we went in a restaurant and I asked a menu. I never asked before. I had the impression I'm horrible. But the world was mine. This was the best.
The word was yours, yeah.
The world was mine. You never look at people in eyes. You don't smile. And you are really very cool.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have your hand between your legs, and then you really have a good feeling being a man.
You know, yeah.
Maybe I have to try that.
Yeah. Try that. Does it boost your self-confidence to be that way?
Yeah. Because if you are in opposite of a super macho, you can mirror this in a way as woman, and then after this he don't know what you do.
They
don't understand, because they are not conscious of this code, kind of code.
Yeah.
You behavior as a man.
But does it boost your self-confidence?
Yeah. much, because I can change. I can go from one to the other. It's fluent.
Yeah.
It's very, very nice. It's opened your mind. It's opened your body. It gives you power.
Yeah. Excellent.
Because you are aware from something others are not.
Yeah.
They are in this kind of golden cage demands also. They are in a golden cage too.
I want to do that one day.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a curator or a rock star.
A rock star, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good to go out from your own mind you think you are. I am not the person you think I am. Then you can go a little bit.
Really cool. All right. Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
Yeah, we're also very active in regard to different cultural aspects of fat. That is, as Orsina said, Fat Art Fair is the biggest project that we do, but we've got our fingers in a lot of different pies and trying to do things that raise cultural awareness. We would like to also have more people of color in the fair. And I'm also teaching a workshop, been teaching a workshop for a long time, as far as racism and prejudice is concerned. And that's something that's, that's an old theme for me, but it's something that seems to be more important now as of last year.
Yeah.
Because it all fits together for me. All these things, they have something to do with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you're not really acquainted with different situations, you don't see how they fit together.
Hmm.
But cultural awareness, women's issues, art, cartel busting, all of these things have to do with fat and have to do with us.
Yeah, I like this term, cartel busting.
Yeah, this is very nice.
Really cool.
I think it's really important that we have built up a network, and our network is totally open.
Mm.
Our whole thing is basically radical inclusion. If we see anything anywhere or hear about anyone anywhere, then we get in touch with them. We send them mail. We call them up. We bother them. And sometimes they don't respond, and then we just wait and do it again. Everyone's welcome. And it's exactly the opposite of a cartel. We want everyone in the club. The more, the merrier. And anyone that's even a little bit interested in what we're doing, they should get involved with us. They can subscribe to our newsletter. They could come to Zurich and meet us if COVID allows that. Mm. They should get in touch with us so that they can see what we're doing, because you can't put us in a certain corner and say that's what they do. We do a lot of stuff and we're interested in everything. So if there's an open platform around for art in Switzerland, then we're it.
Cool.
I would like to point out that Mark and I are the founding team of FatArt. But from the very beginning, we worked as a bigger team, around 3 or 10 people, with, of course, a majority of women, as well as a few men, which are supporting the project. Yes, sometimes it happens. At the moment, we are working intense in the core strategy team, means Pauline, Mark and me. Pauline Della Bianca as head curator of FatArt. She's the first employee by FatArt at 60% and receiving a fixed salary. She's an art historian, curator in feminist thoughts. And she completes very well our core team with her professional and personal experiences. I also would like to thank every person who push up our cultural changing approach in arts. FatArt also will thank all those who are already involved in our big international project for the women in arts. At least all artists, they are with us to grow together. It's time to get fat.
I am so excited I'm able to share this conversation with you, because Ursina and Mark bring so many interesting ideas and are very inclusive in the approach. They are open to have a discussion with anyone who has a vision and wants to bring it forward, and I really love that. Remember that the application deadline for the FAT Art Fair is May 9th. The fair will take place here in Switzerland in the very nice town of Schaffhausen from the 10th until the 12th of September 2021 in a beautiful space. Check out the website. The links are provided in the show notes. This podcast is supported by Pro Helvetia, the Swiss Arts Council, and the city of Lancy. We are so thankful for their support and commitment to culture, women, and the arts. Thanks for listening to Raw and Radical Women in the Arts podcast. Learn more about our featured artists and sign up for news and updates by visiting our website, rawradical.com. Please consider leaving us a comment and review on your preferred podcast listening platform to help others discover the show and take part in this global dialogue. She intuitive. I am Maureen Broadbeck, and until next time, keep the dream alive. Woman.